I would like to speak first on the all of the above energy bill that you introduced. Could you give us some of the specifics on that bill?
It's to be able to move us toward energy self-sufficiency in this country and to be able to create jobs and to be able to do it responsibly. And in the bill, we enumerate literally all of the above. We start out with wind, solar, geothermal, hydroelectric, oil, gas, oil, shale, minerals, coal, and it's going to require the Secretary of Interior and Secretary of Agriculture to be able to develop a four-year plan based off of 30-year estimates for energy needs in the country.
Do you feel that all of these energy sources, solar, wind, oil and gas, should be lumped together in the same category when some are more polluting than others and some are more renewable than others?
Well, I think it's not mandating which sources to be used. We've got a variety of areas to where wind actually would probably be the best source to determine whether it's an appropriate place to be able to do it. That's something we'd be putting into the Secretary's hands. The beauty of the bill is it's not creating preference for one source over another, but creating the opportunity to be able to use the best source and to be able to create the jobs here at home.
And so the decision would mostly come down to the Secretary of the Interior as to what energy policies to pursue, and that's for the entire country?
Right. Well, this is going to be on public lands, federal lands, to where those resources can be used and to pick appropriate spot for it to be able to be generated. And, of course, there'd be public hearing.
So there would be county input, and you would get the word from the locals?
There's no restriction in terms of getting the input. In fact, it's required.
Do you believe that it's a priority for us in this country to move towards 100% renewable energy?
I think ultimately it's going to be inevitable. We're seeing great technologies that are being developed right now. I had the opportunity to visit a number of solar farms to be able to see the increases that we're getting in terms of the development of wind technology as well. I think ultimately, and that ought to be our goal, is to be able to develop renewable resources, because ultimately that will have to be the energy source, and we're seeing good technologies developing now.
So does this bill do anything to help move us into that direction?
Well, I think it does, from the standpoint that we've got traditional sources that we know are there, that we can responsibly develop, that there are other areas to where we can take advantage of wind, of solar, perhaps geothermal, to be able to create that as part of the actual portfolio. Currently, we don't have that requirement that let's create the entire portfolio. That's what the legislation is aiming to do.
And so moving on to the revision of the Antiquities Act, which takes out certain parts of it and adds a few limitations to the president's authority to make and designate national monuments. And you voted in favor, and I just wanted you to explain why.
Well, I think that when we're going to be designating something, it's appropriate for Congress to actually be involved. We look at the bill for Chimney Rock National Monument. Was able to pass that through the House of Representatives with bipartisan support. Here was the benefit of actually visiting the site and actually having a bill go through. It asked the questions in terms of what the costs were going to be with the designation. So we knew going in that there would be additional costs. But that came from the result of actually having a bill, having a hearing, having the discussion take place. And no one's opposed to having the designation of monuments. But let's make sure that Congress is going to be ultimately responsible for directing the dollars that are going to be needed for the full development of a resource like a monument and what it brings to a community. The bill that came in just had its hearing. We'd expressed some concerns that we had in terms of the bill as it was introduced.
What are some of the issues that you found?
Well, one issue specifically that I'd identified was in terms of the limitation on some of the size. I think it was for 1 square mile initially. I think that that's something that may be a little bit too prescriptive, that we need to have some flexibility on to make sure that an area may be larger than that.
And so does this cap off the size for all monuments, even with the permission of Congress?
This would actually be specifying and be a little more prescriptive in terms of some of the size, and that's an issue that we had brought up with the chairman that we think need to be addressed, and he said he was more than willing to work with us on that.
And would it affect monuments that have already been designated?
none of the monuments in Colorado. I think specifically it was looking at the Bear's Ears and the Grand Staircase over into Utah. When you go to the historical and the actual legal prescription for the designation of a monument, it was to use the smallest size possible for the designation. And that was not employed with the designation on those two monuments, and there were concerns. Had another example in Maine. I think the entire congressional delegation, the state and the governor, didn't want the designation, and it came in. And that's where it's important, really, to get the legislators involved in the process, get the communities involved in the process, and make sure that we're hearing all of the issues and moving forward appropriately.
I noticed that in defining land, it says that land can't count as any submerged land or water. Obama designated a large marine national monument near Hawaii. That would be undone, would it not?
You know, I think in the bill there is provision that they were looking at that it's not going to be underwater. It's got to be surface. You've got to have some antiquities that are actually in place.
So antiquities meaning objects of human historic value?
A lot of the areas that we want to be able to preserve and that we cherish, Chimney Rock's a great example of that in terms of Native American artifacts and sites that are there.
So are you concerned at all about the impact that we are making on our environment throughout this country?
In what way?
The pollution, mostly of our oceans and on our public lands, oil extraction.
Every one of us agree that we need to make sure that we have standards when you're talking about oil development, actually having a plan in place in appropriate areas and to make sure that we have the safeguards in place to be able to do it appropriately. I think all Americans agree on that.
Do you see any kind of trend that makes you feel like we should be protecting our environment for the health of future generations here?
I think all of us, in terms of trends, I think that we do have a consensus that we want to make sure that resources are developed responsibly.
Thank you so much for taking the time to speak with KDNK, Scott Tipton.
You bet, Raleigh.